basically the last substantive item on the agenda, which is 3-year season setting. This is hunting season settings. I see that Eric has joined us and Anise is here. So whichever one, take it away. Oh, and Brock.
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Baker. I will kick us off. I'll try to share my screen. So yeah, we're here to for a decision on a 3-year season setting package. This has been a year-long process of us taking comments and presenting to you. We obviously presented the whole package to you in March for your briefing, and we have some modifications to that today, but for the most part, it's very similar to what you saw in March. Let's see, make sure we get the right screen. All right. Folks see that?
Yep.
All right. So as I mentioned, we're talking about 3-year season setting process. There is a slight modification that I would like to ask commissioners to consider. And that's basically where there are some rules that we're recommending not moving forward at this time. So after additional consideration for public comment on aspects of the 3-year season hunting package, WDFW staff is recommending that amendments to the WACs in the slide that I'm presenting right now, and I'll read all of those rules in a minute, which are functionally discrete from the game seasons that are the core of the 3-year season setting package, not be adopted at this time, so that WDFW can give further consideration to some of the aspects of the proposed amendments. So it's come to our attention through public comment that these rules that I have on this slide require a little bit more process. And I want folks to understand that we're not abandoning these, because a lot of work went into these rules, both from the public asking us to look at them and us looking at them and then putting them out for public comment. So I do want to let folks know that are invested in these rules, that we will be still moving forward with these rules, but it will require a little bit more process. And we're hoping that will happen in the next few months, and we'll bring them back in front of the commission for them to consider them, possibly for the 2022 season. Maybe earlier for some of them, but possibly most of them prior to the 2022 season. So I just wanted to kind of iterate that to those folks that spend a lot of time helping us formulate these rules. And the rules that we're not recommending modifying are 224-00-20, classification of wild animals, 224-13-060, hunting restrictions, 224-13-090, field identification of wildlife and evidence of sex definitions, 224-14-10, hunting equipment restrictions, 224-14-20, unlawful methods for hunting, and 224-14-40, non-toxic shock requirements, 224-14-050, shotgun shell restriction areas, and 224-14-060, muzzle loading firearms. And then 224-14-70, archery equipment, and 224-14-90, the use of decoys and calls. And then 224-14-100, crossbow equipment, and 224-17-030, wild animal trapping. You'll see a theme in most of these, and most of them are related to methods. And so given that, there needs to be a little bit more work on these, because they're not seasons or bag limits. And we wanted to make sure that we have all our processes in place before we bring this to you again for you to consider it. So with that, these rules will not be presented to you for changes. And if you would like to consider any of these, you certainly can. But our recommendation right now is to not move forward with these rules. From this point forward, what I'm going to do is maybe wait to see if the commission does want to pull any of these out and actually consider them. If not, I'll go to Brock and he'll start some of the presenting some of the changes that we are recommending from what you saw last time in March. So with that, I'll pause for a minute and see how the commission wants to proceed.
Looking for hands and I don't see any. Does anybody have any comment for Anise regarding the rules that we will not be considering today before he goes on?
All right, hearing none, I'm assuming that the commission is good with us not presenting these. They don't have to act on them, so they basically will remain as they are. So there will be no change to these rules. Okay. All right, with that, I will possibly stop sharing my mine, and then Brock will take over and present some of the rules that that we have made slight modifications to when you saw them last, and he'll he will do that. I'm just trying to figure out how to unshare. Oh, here we go. Stop sharing. All right. Sorry about that little snafu, but Brock, if you can share your documents and go ahead with the recommended changes that we have.
Just to...
Okay, good morning, Vice Chair Baker, fellow commissioners. So as Anise mentioned, I'm going to cover a couple proposals that will be provided a briefing to the commission on March 25th. Since that time, we're now going to propose some supplemental recommended adjustments. The first one was related to our briefing on bighorn sheep, moose, and mountain goats. It's minor. It's related to WAC 220-412-070, which is our big game and wild turkey auction, raffle, and special incentive permits. At the March meeting, we presented a proposal. It had two components. The first was to change the legal animal for auction raffle permits from any moose to any bull. That is going to remain the same. But our second component was to expand the hunt area for the raffle moose raffle permits. The GMUs that were open for that permit originally were 101 through 121 and 204. And at that time, our proposed recommendation was the general language that's in the bullet number two that basically provides the department with the authority to identify those hunt areas and to post them on our website on December 1st. That would have included GMUs 101 through 130 and 204. Since we met in March, are now recommending to just simplify the language that's in the WAC just to state what GMUs are open. So with that, we can move into, if the commission is amenable, we can move into adoption on these as I go through them as well. So that's the only one for the bighorn moose. We'll cover the next one after the commission decides whether to adopt.
So Brock, just to be clear, what we're going to do is go through each one of these and have a motion for each one. That's correct, right?
Yeah, for these two with supplemental recommendations, or we can open it to questions if anybody has questions as well.
Oh, well, it's absolutely open for questions. If not, I see Commissioner Thorburn's hands up.
Well, I was just going to make a motion. So yeah, what we're going to do is go through a few of the rules to be adopted that have recommended adjustments since our last meeting. And we're going to adopt the adjustments and then we will go and adopt the rule package. So
thank you, Kim.
About what we're doing here. So I move to adopt the recommended rule changes as presented by staff for WAC 220-412-070 7-0. And just to be clear, we clarified the language. GMUs are usually posted in our pamphlet, so I think it makes sense to do that.
Is there a second to Commissioner Thorburn's motion?
Second.
Commissioner Kuntz has seconded the motion. Is there discussion? Seeing none, the question before the body is the, is, well, I don't have the motion up in front of me, but is to approve Commissioner Thorburn's motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion's approved. Brock, back to you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Okay, so our second proposed supplemental recommended adjustment is related to hunting boundaries. When the WACs that we'll cover are game management units for Region 5, elk area descriptions, elk general seasons, and elk special permits. So we presented to the commission at the March meeting this proposal to shift elk area 5066 from GMU 524 to GMU 522. We presented a great deal of opposition that we had received from the public. In response to that proposal, we had good discussion at that meeting. Subsequent to the meeting, the commission also received more feedback from the public in opposition. On Monday, we met with Chair Carpenter, Commissioners McIsaac and Anderson, with regional staff. We had a regional wildlife program manager present, our Region 5 captain, enforcement captain, who's did a really good job of presenting the challenge that this elk area presents. But based on the feedback we've gotten from the public and the discussion we had on Monday with commissioners, we are now proposing an adjustment that would retain the current boundary descriptions. It would keep elk area 5066 within GMU 524. That does not negate the, you know, the issue at hand. It's still going to be there. But we're going to commit to engaging our public to get more input on that and see if we can't come up with some alternative approaches to deal with this issue that are more accepted by the public. So after we did that, this is actually a floor change. I went in, I updated the GMU boundaries. I kind of had tunnel vision on. I updated the elk areas. What I forgot was in our general season WACs for elk, and our special permits, there are references because of the elk area is not open to the general season hunters. There are references that also need to be reinstated within the general season and special permit WACs that exclude elk area 5066 from hunts that are in GNU 524. So I had to go back and do that. Those are presented. Here's one example from our general season WAC. Had to go back and incorporate those, and those are presented to the commission today as floor changes.
Thank you, Brock. Commissioner McIsaac has his hand up.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And I'd ask if you could go back in your slides to the map, and I have a question here. Let me say, I wasn't able to stay for the entirety of that impromptu meeting that you mentioned that happened just the other day. But I did gain a lot more understanding about what the problem is here. I have a question about whether or not there's something we can do today as opposed to waiting a year and having status quo. As you mentioned, the problem wouldn't go away. Perhaps what you just said about trying to help in the pamphlet might help a little bit about the problem, but the problem had been that during the general elk season, in particular the firearm season, the first 2 weeks of November, the pamphlet said that the Margaret unit was an over-the-counter open hunting season, when in fact this eastern portion here was permit only. and that for people that read the pamphlet innocently and naively and felt like the entire Margaret unit was open, then they would be found over here in the permit area only on the east. And there may have been some other folks that were trying to game the system a little bit and take advantage of this and be in there. And so the enforcement officers would have to go in there and deal with those two types of folks. The idea of creating a new GMU in what's in red here as the EA 5066, this is a Norway Pass area. If this was its own GMU, the Norway Pass area, that was open to deer and bear and cougar whenever the entirety of the, well, the seasons are open for those, including August, September, October, late buck, I guess, and in there. But it was closed to general hunting and said, this is closed to general hunting during the elk season. It's only open to permit hunters. The permit hunters that are in there could hunt for deer, well, not for deer, because in the first 2 weeks of November, that's not open. But anyway, for bear and cougar, I guess. But the idea here is it would be, it would say in the pamphlet that it's closed. It might say at the access area, this is permit only. It's closed to the general season. But anyway, the idea here is creating a new GMU as opposed to trying to designate a difference inside of a particular GMU that just pertains to elk. And with the notice of that, so that people could look on their phones and with their apps and say, oh, I see here it's closed except if you have a permit. If the pamphlet clearly said it's closed unless you have a permit, that maybe that might be a solution that could happen now. And that would help not have another season of this kind of problem and might be something that sustained itself after we had an experience of it this year toward any longer term solutions. So in terms of process, I'm wondering about if that's an idea that we could talk about right now or not. And if it is, if the staff has any reaction to what I just said. And again, I apologize for not being able to be there for that full impromptu meeting.
So my recommendation would be that we don't consider doing that today. There's several different ideas, I think, that alternatives that folks think we could present. We haven't done our due diligence at this point to get, you know, input from staff on those ideas, you know, as well as just going to a standalone GMU. And even more so, we haven't done our due diligence to get input from the public on that proposal either.
I see Anise has wants to chime in.
Yeah, thank you, Vice Chair and Commissioner McIsaac. That was discussed briefly at the meeting that you had to leave early. And although this option does solve one of the problems, which is the folks that don't know, it doesn't solve the other part of the problems with folks that do know and are in there trying to, I guess, game the system. So, and as Brock mentioned, we haven't really asked hunters or others what they think about that change. So for it to happen at this late stage, it's a fairly big thing to create a new GMU. And so without having a sufficient public process, I think we would be up against some opposition that we're not aware of, and since we haven't really vetted that idea.
Okay, well, we haven't got to the motion part of all this yet, but I guess I'm fine with waiting. I'm hoping that the enforcement folks will be fine with waiting too. If there's any way, what was on the screen a moment ago seemed to me to be something that might help so that someone can open the pamphlet and clearly see that they shouldn't be in there if they don't have a permit.
Thank you, Don. Chair Carpenter.
I guess for Anise or Brock or Eric, I guess the point's been made that it'd be difficult to do today, and I get that. But I would like to get an explanation of what waiting means from your perspective. Is this something that we will have done for 2022?
Commissioner Carpenter, that would be our hope. Is we certainly want to try to get it done as soon as we can, and 2022 would be a good target date. I mean, the change would have been nice to happen this year, obviously, but we've been dealing with this issue for a long time. So another year of waiting is not going to harm the resource. And it will be a little bit of, you know, more work on the enforcement side, but they are also on board for waiting and having a more robust process as well.
Okay. Over the course of the next year, if there's progress or impediments, I'm hopeful that you'll bring those forward to the commission as we move along.
We certainly will.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. Commissioner Markaisik, I see your hand is up. Is it up again, or did you forget to lower it?
That was the same as me not unmuting myself. Sorry.
Thank you. I see no further hands. Is there a motion on hunting boundaries?
So I just want to clarify that this change affects a few WACs, and that's why you see all of those WACs, because we had to basically change all of those WACs because of that change.
Okay. So is anybody ready to make a motion? Commissioner Thorburn.
I move to adopt the recommended rule changes as presented by staff for WACs 220-410-050, game management units, boundary descriptions, regions, 220-415-040, elk area descriptions, 220-415-050, elk general seasons, and 220-415-060, elk special permits.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the recommendations made by staff. Hold on a minute. I see Joe Pinesco has his hand up.
Yes, for point of discussion on this motion, I'm just requesting clarification. In contrast to the last motion, it's my understanding that the current pieces being presented to the commission are adjustments from the original proposal in the CR 102, and that these motions are merely to approve the adjustments to the proposal, but that there will be a single final vote at the end of all of this on the three-year package. And my only concern is that the language in the motion that was just read makes it sound like the commission is actually voting on approving the rules, not voting on the adjustments from the CR 102.
I'll just say thank you for noting that. As we discussed with the first motion, we are making motions on recommended adjustments. My motion represents that motion to accept the recommended adjustments. And I would just like to note in discussing the motion that we have had discussion about the need to continue work on that. So with the motion, it's the expectation that staff will work on this with a target of bringing it back to us in 2022.
Thank you, Kim. So Joe, the way I understand this is that the two votes that we are taking, this one and the one previous, are essentially amendments to the big package, which is coming next. And then when we vote for that, that will be final and incorporate the adjustments, correct?
That was my understanding.
Joe, if I could, please. So we did pull these WACs out of the total package so they can be voted on separately. And the reason we did that is because there are amendments. What I will be summarizing altogether will not include the WACs that just were voted on, if they are voted on. So I just wanted to, for clarity, with the ones that did require recommended adjustments, I didn't put in the package that they'll vote on as a group. Does that make sense?
Yes,
So if they do vote on them now, they are voting on the WAC itself, not the package.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, Anise. Joe, does that change any of the proper procedure that we are undergoing in your mind?
Yes, because this package was done as a complete package through the APA process. So my preference would be that these adjustments be approved by the commission, and that the final vote also include these rules as a singular vote, which is more consistent with the APA procedures that have been followed here.
Can we do that orally?
Yes, and I just saw, because the first motion was just to approve the adjustments, and the previous motion was worded more to approve the rule, if I'm remembering correctly. So I think the only clarification would be that the present motion that's open for consideration be clarified that the motion is to adopt the adjustments to the rule, and that the final rule package include all of it.
Okay, we will need to remember that as we pass the final rule, which hopefully will be sometime this morning. Anybody who is planning to make a motion on the final rule, please make a note that we need to remember that incorporates the two decisions that we made earlier. And Mr. Pinesco, please remind us if we forget. Let's see, I see Anise's hand is up, and Commissioner McIsaac.
No, sorry, that was a holdover. I apologize. Okay.
Don.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Well, I think the maker of the motion indicated an adjustment to the rule, and as the second, I would agree with that intent. I also would like to say that this is a good example of, while it's difficult to understand when we get to final decision making, where the flexibility is for commissioners to make motions to amend and change that would require further public comment, and which ones wouldn't, and how much leeway there is, that gets to be a little bit difficult. But I would say that this is a good example to hear the staff thinking more about the discussion on March 26th, I guess, when we talked about public comment being 85 against and 1-4, and then hearing some more constituents not in favor of this in between, and the staff considering adjustments that are responsive to that. I think we're all after an improved image of the department and the commission with all of our stakeholders, and I think this is a good solution. So I'm obviously going to be in favor of it. I seconded it, but I just want to throw some compliments into the staff too as well for working on this and getting this result.
Thank you. So we are still discussing the motion to adjust hunting boundaries. We will be getting to the big package next, I believe. So I see Commissioner Smith's hand is up. Lorna, did you want to say something about hunting boundaries?
What I want to say is after we're done with this and before we move on to the next, I kind of second what Don was asking about clarification on ability to make adjustments. So I'm ready to move forward with this one, but I want to pause in between this and the next step.
Okay, let's take this vote and then we'll come back to you. Is that okay, Commissioner Smith? Yeah. Okay, so again, I don't have the motion before me on the screen, but right now we need to vote on the adjustments to the hunting boundaries as proposed by staff, and which has been moved and seconded. So all in favor of that adjustment, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, so now we have a request from a commissioner to discuss the commission's ability. I believe this is the request, correct me if I'm wrong, Lorna, the commission's ability to make changes or amendments to the big package. And you want to have that discussion before we hear the presentation on the big package. Is that correct?
Right. But we can have, after this next vote, which is to move, you know, to approve the boundaries, correct?
I think we just did that.
Oh, I thought we just approved the amendment. I lost track. Yeah. Okay.
I think we're still okay.
Okay.
So we are the next thing we are going to do, absent a discussion amongst the commissioners, is to go back to Anise to present the 3-year season setting package.
Okay. So my quick, yeah. Thank you, Chair Baker.
Could I make a suggestion, Vice Chair Baker?
Sure.
Could we maybe ask Joe Pinesco to once again describe what we were doing in reference to the APA? We had rules presented to us for adoption, but they hadn't completely taken into account all of the public testimony. So the steps under the APA are to make adjustments. Those are different than amendments. And maybe, Joey, you could describe that a little bit better so everybody's really clear about what we've just done and what we're about to do. Would that make sense?
I'm happy to, Vice Chair. Let me pull up the statute in the APA so I have it in front of me. See if I can get my hand on it. There is a specific statute in the APA about rulemaking, and the citation is RCW 3405340. And it talks about when there is a variance between the proposed, which is the CR 102, versus the final rule. The final rule being the language that the commission is voting to adopt, which is the action before the commission today. And the statute talks about there being substantially different proposals, which can still actually go forward. The commission has the legal authority to even adopt a substantially different proposal at the CR 103, but there are certain consequences of that that allows citizens to petition for rulemaking to start all over again to reconsider those differences that had not been publicly vetted. And you know, as a policy practice, my experience, my relatively young experience with the commission has been the commission doesn't want to do that. It wants to have a full transparency and that it will not vary substantially from the CR 102. So what does it mean to substantially vary? There's not a lot of case law on this, but generally speaking, it's going outside the four corners of the package and doing something completely different or new that wasn't considered at all. If there is a proposal to make changes and the commission decides to not make those changes at all, that's within the four corners. You know, you can vote no on anything. So pulling back the scope of any amendment to less than the original proposed amendment all the way down to zero, as in we're not going to approve it at all, clearly within the four corners, clearly not a substantive change. There can be questions about what's a minor adjustment. If you're talking about which weekends and which dates are going to have something open, and in the course of the consideration before the final vote, you make it other weekends versus these weekends, there's a lot of gray of argument about what's really a substantive change. Generally speaking, I would argue that season setting is season setting, and adjustments within seasons are within the four corners of the decision, and presumptively there will be data in the record to defend why the commission felt the need to make a change, and we would point to the data in the record to defend that decision against being arbitrary and capricious. So, and one statement that Commissioner Thornburn had made was a difference between amendments versus adjustments. I don't think there really is a difference. Is any change in the language from the CR 102 proposal is either you can call it an adjustment or you can call it an amendment before final action on the final rule. And procedurally, there's two different ways you could do this. In the past, with other rulemaking in front of the commission, staff have come to the commission at this stage, the final vote, and said, we listened to the public comment during the hearing, and we've made some suggested changes. Therefore, our request is for the commission to approve this rule with these changes incorporated. And then there's just one vote by the commission. adopting the final proposal with the changes that staff had incorporated into it. And that is one way that staff could have proceeded here. They could have covered all of these proposed adjustments and then asked for a singular vote at the end, accepting all of those adjustments as part of the final package. But another option, and it's just procedural difference, is sort of what started here is like, well, here are some rules that we've made some adjustments to, and asking for the commission's input on those adjustments one at a time, saying, you know, commission, do you approve making this adjustment to this part of the proposed rule package or not? But I'm still more comfortable with the final vote adopting the whole package occurring at the end of that. So does that answer everybody's questions?
Actually, yes.
So thank you for that, Joe. Importantly, Commissioner Thorburn, does that answer your question?
It wasn't really a question. I just thought it would be helpful since questions were kind of coming up about the process to have our lawyer describe the process. And actually, I would just add, I kind of like distinguishing, using amendments for the process that the commission would use if we wanted to add something, an adjustment for the process where staff is bringing us something. I think it just helps with the process to keep it clear. So I kind of like the distinction between the two in that way.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. I agree with you. Now we're back to Commissioner Smith.
Chair Baker, that what Kim asked Joe to explain is pretty much what I was going to ask. So I think for now I'm good.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. A question on the four corners. I'm not quite clear on that. So if there's a range of alternatives from 0 to 10 to 20, I can figure out what the four corners are. And if someone says, I would like to move for 30, it's outside the range of alternatives that have been considered. But what we get as commissioners on this hunting business is a singular recommendation. And so I don't know where the four corners are. You said that 0 is inside the four corners, or going back to status quo is inside the four corners. So for example, on this elk management unit, the original proposal was to move this geographic area on the east side of Margaret into the Lewitt. And so just as an example, so I can understand it, is the idea that keeping it in the Margaret or making it a new GMU outside the four corners, I don't know where those corners are. The staff has recommended we have public comment. I'm good with that. I don't want to change it. But when you, and my question is, when you get a singular recommendation and not a range, I know that you're going to say, if you put good justification on the record, that helps, and that can define corners. But is there definition to the corners? How far out there could we go and say, well, you know, for the following reasons, we heard in public testimony this or that, I think it's a good reason. The staff has been asked, and we're, so is there an answer to that or not?
Yeah, Vice Chair Baker, Commissioner McIsaac, there's not a simple or an easy yes-no answer on that because it is going to be so context-dependent. One comment I will make with respect to your statement or your characterization of presentations or proposals to the commission being sort of singular. I would recharacterize that because as with this three-year hunting package, department staff have been working massively with the public, with the commission through the Wildlife Committee over time, scoping the proposal. This starts with the filing of the CR 101, which is a pre-proposal inquiry, and then they start gathering public input. So there's all sorts of proposals across the map that staff receive from the public, and then they work forward and process those, and will eventually whittle it down to a proposal to present to the commission. So the record will show that it's not just a singular proposal. There's much that is out there that culminates with a singular proposal being brought to the commission. If every single one of those public comments was dropped in front of the commission saying, okay, commission, you decide and you whittle these down to a final package, I think your meetings would be much longer. I think part of the commission's role is relying on department staff to do that whittling and refining, working with the constituency, the statutory mandates, and the biology to come up with its recommendations to the commission for final consideration. There's a huge gray area of how much could department staff do within the quote unquote four corners. The more department staff and the commission wants to solicit additional public input on the proposal, you're absolutely free to do that and say, we're not going to do this now. It's not within the four corners. So we're going to restart the process because we want to solicit more input on it. And I think that's part of the analysis that should be applied is in the scope of the CR 101 and the CR 102 in the public hearing, what's the range of commentary that you've gotten on a proposal? You will oftentimes get commentary from pro-hunting groups and anti-hunting groups that run the gamut of options. And one could argue that to the extent all of those options are already being fielded by the comments, that picking anything within those options, even if it was below or over the staff's recommendation, is still within the four corners. But so the benchmark really should be how much notice did the public have and how much opportunity was there for department staff to solicit input from the public and on that particular nuance of the proposal.
Got it. Thank you.
So Commissioner Kuntz.
Joe, a very basic question. When we are listening to public comments and you talk about the range of public comments, helping to define the scope. Do commissioner comments count in that range?
Sure. They can. But again, I would still say the benchmark should be what was the total scope of the notice to the public about the proposal? Because if a commissioner threw some very unique proposal on the floor for the first time, that was not really noticed to the public, and there was an opportunity to solicit input from the public about that. You know, even that could potentially go outside the four corners of what was properly noticed to the public for the vote.
But what I'm talking about is when we have, before votes, before decisions, we have a meeting and we take public comments. Often the commissioners make comments that I notice don't always get recorded into the, for example, the SEPA comments because they weren't, the commissioners aren't writing directly. So I'm wondering if commissioner comments during public meetings count later in the decision-making range of scope.
Yes, commission comments, as we just experienced in the litigation that we just got a ruling on last Friday as to the Spring Bear rules, transcripts of the meetings will be, when there is litigation and the parties desire to have the words of the commissioners in front of the judge, there will be a transcript made of that hearing and any of the statements by the commissioners can become part of the record on the decision.
Great. Thanks.
Yes.
All right. I think we've had a nice little sort of a little education session on the APA. Thank you for that, Joe. We need now to turn to Anise to get our next decision in front of us.
All right. So I do want to say that there are still a couple of rules that have modifications. And so that's what I'll be presenting next. And then we'll go to the final adoption of the rest of the rules. So with that, the small game and fur bearer trapping decisions, we had some recommended adjustments for those as well. Basically, because the methods wax we're revisiting, there was a change in the small game rule that allowed for the use of a rimfire rifle. And so we're striking that from that rule. And this is just a reiteration of the public comments that we already presented to you last time. And as you remember at the commission meeting, there were folks that spoke against the use of a center fire rifle to hunt turkeys. And so I wanted to make sure that we covered that, the rationale there as well. The trapping season regulation is another one that was changed because of the rules we decided not to move forward with. And then basically the recommended adjustment here is to remove the proposal to add Eastern cottontail, Nuttall's cottontail, and snowshoe hare to the trapping rule. So these species will not be added to the trapping regulation. And so the rule amendment or the rule recommended adjustment is to remove that language from that rule. Again, this is the public comment we received. And then at the commission meeting, six individuals provided verbal comments specific to the proposal. And then with that, there's a motion to adopt the changes presented here. And if That's you choose it. To, you just wrap this up in the next agenda item. Our attorney said that is appropriate, but if you want to vote on it here, that is totally up to you as well.
Commissioner Thorburn, the Vice Chair Baker had to step away from the gavel for a moment. You have a comment?
I was going to make a motion. I would recommend that we do make a motion just to follow the process that we've started to do these adjustments as presented to us. So I see no other hands. So shall I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Larry,
yes, go ahead, please.
I move to adopt the recommended adjustments as presented by staff for WAX 220-416-010 and 220-417-030.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Coots seconded it. Okay. We have a couple hands up. I see Commissioner Thorburn. Do you want to speak to the motion? And then if not, Commissioner Smith.
I think that staff has put some good thought into this and considered some testimony that we received. It's in part represented in some of the rules that we're not considering today. So that's the reason that I have moved to accept these adjustments.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Commissioner Smith?
I just want to bring up something that was brought up during the public comment period, and that not to put it into this motion, but I think that the commission really needs to consider, along with the department, that we look at the proposal to remove trapping of beavers in those areas, the restoration areas and relocation areas. And I think there might've been a third area as well, but that idea makes sense to me to look at, but I'm not ready to add it right here, but I just wanted to bring that point up again.
Anyone else? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Commissioner Thorburn made the motion. Commissioner Kuntz made a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed,
aye.
Same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Go ahead, Anise.
All right. Yeah, I'm just trying to bring everything up on the screen. One second. Okay. All right, can folks see that?
Yes.
All right. So next, these are all of the WAX that we are recommending moving forward with, which includes not only these WAX, but the WAX that you already have voted on the amendments. So those WAX are not in this list, but as I understand it, they should have been. And so keep in mind that those WAX that you've already voted on changes to, you're also voting to adopt them if you choose to. So 220410, game management unit boundaries for
Daryl, I'm going to be
Lorna, you're not muted. There you go. Okay. Go ahead, Anise.
All right. 220-410-40, boundary descriptions for Region 4. 220-410-60, game management units for Region 6. 224-11-140, the Lake Terrell Game Reserve. 224-11-210, the Stafford Game Reserve. 224-12-080, the special hunting season permits. 224-12-100, landowner hunting permits. 224-15-010, deer area descriptions. 224-15-020, deer general season and definitions. 224-15-030, deer special permits. 224-15-070, moose seasons, permits, quotas, and areas. 224-15-090, fall black bear hunting seasons and regulations. 224-15-120, bighorn sheep season permit quotas. 224-15-130, mountain goat season permit quotas and areas. 224-16-60, migratory bird season and regulations. And 224-16-70, snake, Columbia snake in Yakima River, waterfowl, coot, and snipe closures. And then 224-16-080, the Lynch Cove and Union River hunting area restrictions. So those are all of the rules in addition to the rules that you already voted on amendments. Now, all of these rules were presented in March, as the department does not recommend any changes to the ones that were in that list. The commission obviously reserves the right to pull any of these rules out for amendment if they choose. And then we have summarized the public comment received on all of these WACs, and the summary is in your packet. This includes all comments online in writing, including comments received before and during the March commission meeting. So if the commissioners want to pull any of these out, obviously that's on the table, but if not, there's a motion that you can make.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. This is a question, not a motion here. And I asked this question in March, and it has to do with the point system business. You may recall that question, and I think your answer was, well, that's not a matter of a WAC. But that proposal that came forward from the public is going to be implemented. Do you recall that? Do I recall it right that is not included in any of these WACs, or is it?
It is included in a WAC. It's in the special permit WAC. And that change was made that folks could, and we presented that last time, that folks could turn in their permit for any reason and get their points back, as long as it's done 2 weeks prior to the season opening, where we could reissue that permit.
Okay, that's right. It was an 080, which had the goats in it. Okay, good.
Yep.
Thank you, Don and Anise. Commissioner Smith. You're muted, Lorna.
Sorry. So this is asking for some direction, because I do want to move or suggest one of these be pulled, and I'd like to talk to that and the reason why, but do we need a motion on the floor first?
Why don't you speak to your concern, and then we will get to what the motion should or shouldn't say once you're complete.
So, Anise, would you mind going back to the last slide? Oh, no, actually, that showed the numbers.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's two.
So
there's...
I'm actually looking for 090.
090?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. 224-15-090.
Okay.
Which is black.
That's right there. Yep.
Yes. So as I read through this, I noticed that there was a difference here in talking about the fall black bear seasons. This appears to establish a fall black bear hunting season and bag limit in perpetuity, because there are no years mentioned here. And it also adopts the current bag limit that was raised, what was it, 2 years ago, prior to us having the benefit of the bear density research results that we now have. And as I understand it, the bear densities we now know are not what they were assumed to be when that bag limit was increased. So for those two reasons, that the research wasn't taken into account when the bag limits were raised, and because this appears to establish a permanent season and bag limit, I would like to withdraw at this time that that proposal from these other proposals, because I think it needs more review and refinement. So do I make that as a motion?
Okay, before you make the motion, we are now into what amounts to oral amendments, which is always very difficult. Let's hear Anise, your response to Commissioner Smith's concerns.
We did remove the date from it. So ultimately it could be perpetual, but that's not the intent. The intent is that we always get tripped up when we have dates on these. So that's what happened with the spring bear season. When we changed the date, they say, there's confusion about whether the season will go forward or not. And so we are making it a practice to remove the dates from those rules that don't require a date be in them. And so that is why we removed it. It's also been removed from the cougar rule as well, because those seasons are set and they don't have to be, it's not going to be perpetual. Obviously we will open that rule if the commission wants us to, or if there's a need to. As far as the new density estimates that we are attempting to get, it really does not change anything at this point, because the way we manage bears currently is not based on density. And so we are still operating under the current game management plan, which does not take into consideration what densities are, because we do not have densities statewide. We only have densities in a few areas. And given that fall bear season is a general season statewide, it doesn't make sense to be adding or subtracting from those seasons, because we don't have a way to manage on a smaller scale currently under the current game management plan. So given all of, I guess that's the rationale for the way the rule reads. If we do pull this rule, anything we do has to happen before the fall season, otherwise there will be no season. And so just keep that in mind if this rule is voted to be pulled from this package.
So, Eric Gardner, I saw your hand was up. Did you want to weigh in on this?
Thank you, Chairman Baker. Anise did say at the very end the main point I wanted to make, that if there was an amendment or change made, we would want to at least consider it be done in a way that wouldn't preclude the establishment of a season for this coming fall. We have very short timelines to complete that process and pamphlet development, et cetera. So if there was to be any discussion around that, the year date being included or not, I would ask that you please consider it be handled in a way that wouldn't require additional steps in order for us to move forward this fall. And then I would just reinforce what Anise said, that, Commission, you are responsible for these WACs, and you at any time can always go in, we can ask to go in and change them. This just allows it to be a standing season until such time as you want to take a look at that again. It doesn't preclude change in the future. So that was it. Thank you.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I noticed the same thing that Commissioner Smith did when we heard about this in March and wondered if this was going to come up as a question. So from a policy perspective, I think it gets down to, in the end, burden for change. So if for example, this passed as it is, and here we come a year or two later, and the biology says you shouldn't take so many bears, or the season should be adjusted, or something like that. That motion then would have to carry. And if it didn't carry, it would fall back to what's here. So if this is removed and a particular date is put in for 2021, then the season goes to zero after that. And if somewhere down the road, someone wanted to make a change to get it back, then the burden becomes on the person who wants to, the commissioner who wants to get it back. So the policy question really, in my mind, comes not so much for this year's season, unless someone wants to make that an issue, but what stands and how much trust do you have that the staff would come forward with biological reasons to do it? And where you want to position yourself, policy question of where a tie vote or the burden of changing comes. And is there going to be a burden to establish a season every year? Or is there a fallback that a change from a season every year has to carry that burden? I'm not sure if I made myself clear about that. And with regard to the procedural part of it, I guess I would suggest that if Commissioner Smith wants to isolate this, she could move to adopt all of this except for 090 and create a separate motion for that and speak to it during that. There's probably a couple different ways to deal with it. But I think before we get to that, that was my thinking about the implications of the date.
Thank you. I see Commissioner Thorburn's hand is up, but I also see Joe Pinesco's hand is up. So Kim, if you don't mind, let's go to Joe first.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Vice Chair Baker. First, with respect to Commissioner Smith's question of options, yes, once there is a motion on the table to adopt the rule package, you know, parliamentary procedure-wise, it would be suitable for Commissioner Smith to file or to do a motion to amend the package. And there's multiple options. One motion to amend could be to strike the rule entirely. Another motion to amend could be to insert the year 2021 into the rule heading. I think that's within the four corners. Going from no rules to no years specified to specifying year is another option within the four corners. There's others as well. Those are the two that come to mind immediately. One comment with respect to Commissioner McIsaac's statement that if there is a rule that doesn't have a year limit, that the commission would then need to vote to repeal the rule to stop the hunting. It's accurate that the commission would need to repeal a rule without a date limit to stop hunting from going under that rule. However, there's an additional stopgap, and that is the authority that the commission has delegated to the director to pass emergency rules. And one of the most common reasons for emergency rules are closures based on conservation needs. So at any point in time, if there was a conservation basis under a perpetual rule, the department, through the director's emergency rulemaking authority, can put an end to it very promptly. However, emergency closures only last by statute for 120 days. So there still would need to be rulemaking activity to follow up on that type of action.
Thank you for that. Joe, Commissioner Thorburn.
I was going to suggest that we return to the question of the status of bears and harvest related to that status. When we were discussing spring bear, I think, I can't remember whether it was at the Wildlife Committee or the full commission, but we talked about how the bag limit is set. There is a process that the department follows. It looks at female bear proportion in the harvest. I was wondering, my point is, we're not just setting a bag limit without having sort of a biologic process that's looked at a number. I wondered if the if staff wanted to comment on that to maybe allay a little bit of the concern that we're sort of setting a bag limit without looking at a conservation question.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Thorburn. I was going to ask, whoever has their screen shared, could we please take it down so that we could all see each other? And then, thank you. And now, Eric or Anise or Brock, do any of you want to respond to Kim's suggestion?
Yeah, and I think I alluded to it a little bit already, is that the way we set for the way we set hunting seasons for fall black bear is on the bear management unit level. And we look at percent female in the harvest for each of those bear management units. And as I indicated, none of them have a level that concerns us as far as over harvest is concerned. Now, we have started collecting density information that we hope will inform future ways of managing black bear, maybe at a smaller scale, but that is not currently in place. And so that is why we recommended just maintaining the way we hunt bears, because the current information we have does not indicate that over harvest is occurring. And so with that, we would maintain seasons as they are. If we start seeing some of those indicators, then we would obviously bring the rule back and have it amended in a way that would restrict harvest in certain areas. The current information that we have does not indicate that any restrictions are needed.
Okay. See, Commissioner Kuntz.
Anise, I'm wondering, what's the difference? Some species you have a annual season setting and some you don't. What's the difference in the biology that drives whether you set a season on an annual basis or not?
Yeah, that's a good question. The only reason we set seasons annually is to, in some instances, for a special permit opportunity, go up and down on special permits. Any species that has a general season that has an open and end date does not have to be brought back every year or even every third year, as long as those are staying within the parameters that we set. And so that's the distinction. Is the reason we bring back some species and not others is related to the special permit aspect of that. And that's why spring bear oftentimes is done annually, because it's a special permit opportunity, even within the bear species. So when we have a general season, as we do for bear and cougar, there really isn't a need to be bringing it back every year, because as long as they fall within the parameters that we've set, the need is not there to be revisiting it every year.
Thank you.
So before we go back to Commissioner Smith, I also have a question. There's been a lot of interest in this commission on carnivores generally and cougars and bears specifically. The density studies that the staff are referring to, how eminent is some of those responses? In other words, if Commissioner Smith's concern is that these dates are removed, making this a perpetual hunt, and then Don's talking about burdens, is it then up to us to say, well, you know, we'd like to revisit, assuming we don't do anything with fall bear today, assuming that, is it up to us to say, well, okay, so what are the results of those density studies to trigger whether we need to relook at these seasons, or is that something that would be presented to us?
So I'm assuming that's a question to me.
It's a question to whomever wants to answer it.
Yeah, if it is to me, I can answer my perspective on it. But if it's someone else,
it's to you, Anise.
Yeah. So the way we're looking at it right now is the reason we are collecting those density estimates is to have a better way to manage bears into the future. Our plan currently is to look at that through the game management plan process. And so our, the way we hunt bears currently is in the game management plan. There's a percent female in the harvest and all of that. It's a set way. We would like to change that, but before we do that, we would need to have sufficient information on a statewide basis to give us something to guide how we manage bears into the future. By having this information by itself isn't going to change what we do, because the current way we manage bears in the game management plan is set. And so if we want to change that, that would be either through the game management plan process or through a process where we revisit that portion of the game management plan to revise it, to kind of change how we manage bears. Now, the game division is the one who initiated the density estimation, so we have a better method to manage bears into the future. And so for there to be a thought that we would want to have a hunt that is forever while we're doing this other effort to actually find out how to better manage bears seem to go against one another. Our intent is to have a better way to manage bears that is more prescriptive and is maybe more on a smaller scale. So that's our hope and our dreams, and that's what we want to move forward with into the future. Until we have enough information, though, we cannot move into that management scheme on a statewide basis.
So at the last meeting, this is just a follow-up, Anise. At the last meeting, Commissioner Kuntz asked a question about the relationship between the 1 year, the 3 year, and then the game management plan. And you made the point that the game management plan is not rules. It's a department analysis. So I think what I hear you saying is, if in the game management plan it's determined that we need to make adjustments to the rules, then that's the next step. Is that correct?
Correct. The game management plan is overarching guidance on how we manage things. And it does go through a CEPA process that help, asks us to analyze kind of the methods we're using. So the broader methods. Now, obviously, if the commission or the department felt, even not based on the game management plan, that we needed to be more, restrictive in bear harvest, we could do it regardless of what the game management plan says. But when we talk about how we manage more broadly across the state, the current information we have does not say that, bears are being over harvested. And so given that, we can manage them fairly steadily as we have in the past. Now, we would like to move into a more prescriptive and more, area-specific management, because we know densities across the landscape vary greatly. And they may be actually higher densities in some areas that we're currently under-harvesting, and there may be actually fewer in areas that, and we may be over-harvesting. But overall, the information we have does not show that harvest is exceeding what we could maintain in perpetuity.
Okay, thank you, Anise. So I think we should go back to Commissioner Smith and ask if any of this discussion has focused your thoughts. We do need to get to our motion, and then we will have discussion after the motion. But what are you thinking currently, Commissioner Smith?
I would like to make a motion, but I think in accordance with what Joe Pinesco advised us, we should make the main motion, and then I should propose my language to amend it. I don't agree with some of Joe saying thumbs up on that. I don't agree with some of the analysis I've heard here, and I'll address that when I make my motion.
Thank you, Lorna. Okay, so I think we're to the point where we need a motion on the three-year season setting. Commissioner Thorburn.
I move to adopt the rules, which includes the list on the last two slides, as well as the rules with the adjustments that we adopted as presented by staff.
Thank you for remembering, Kim. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the list of WACs that were presented by staff in the three-year season setting package. Is there discussion, Commissioner Smith?
Yes, so I'd like to go back to some of the explanation I heard. First of all, I understand that we actually do have density information from at least seven specific regions, which, you know, covers a lot of ground. And I'm just going to go back to saying when the bag limit was doubled, there was really no science given to support why that was done. And I think that we need to go back to the science that we know. We need to update it. And I think that we need to practice adaptive management in all of these, you know, as we're setting seasons and bag limits, that it just makes sense for us to always go back and look at what is the best available science that we have. So we've heard from staff. I understand their point of view, but I don't necessarily fully agree with it. So I would like to move to amend. And now let's see, I had the, okay. So the amendment would pertain to WAC 220-415-090, fall black bear hunting seasons and regulations. And I would further move that we add the year 2021. Does the season lap over into 2022? So do we need to add that? I'm looking for guidance on how to state that. But for this coming year, that's the intent, to leave it as is. And then I would like to see the commission revisit this issue based on what we will then know about the science of population and density.
So it's my understanding, Lorna, that you are moving to limit the WAC change that we are preparing to adopt to the 2021, probably 22 hunting season. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you did mention bag limits, but what you're saying, I believe, is that in limiting it to this year, that will give us time to learn more about densities and figure out if other changes need to be made.
Correct.
So just turning to Brock for a second. Brock, if we were to amend this WAC with dates, would it be 2021 or 2021-22? So the real question is what the fall season is.
If I could please, Brock is not the carnivore section manager, so, and Steph's not available, but I
asked the wrong person. Feel free, go ahead, and
I can answer that. So your question was, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't fully understand the question. What we would like, if there is an amendment to the date, it would be nice that it follows the 3-year season setting. So we would like it for the next 3 years, since that's kind of how we set things. And if that's amenable, then that would be good. As far as if we make it for 1 year, I don't think we're going to have enough information next year to make a decision that looks any different than one we made this year, because this requires us analyzing all of the information from statewide as it comes in. And so, and I do want to be clear that when the bag limit was increased, it was not increased statewide. It was already a 2-bear bag limit on the west side. And actually information from the east side density estimates have shown a higher density than we've estimated in the past. And so the information, I guess, that we used was appropriate in the way that we used it. And so I just want to maybe clarify that first. And then if there is an amendment to the dates, our preference would be that it would follow the 3-year season setting and go for the next 3 years.
So Anise, understanding that is your preference, and here comes Eric. Let's just answer Commissioner Smith's question first, which is if we were to limit it to 1 year, would the dates need to be 2021, 22, or just 2020? Or 2021, I mean.
It would be just 2021. The fall season is just in the fall. It ends by November.
All right. Eric, your hand was up. Do you have anything to add?
No, thank you. That was my question. I thought we needed to be very specific about that date question.
Okay, Director Susawind, your hand isn't up, but I see your face.
Well, and I was trying to raise my physical hand instead of my virtual hand. I apologize for that. I think Eric and Anise just covered it. The dates that we're talking about are August 1 through November 15th. So they don't span a year. If you choose to limit it to one season, 21 would do that. Our preference is, and it's certainly, if this is your call, clearly a policy call, our preference would be to do it in alignment with the three-year cycle. But that's really what you're debating right now. Is it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, perpetual? So 1 year works if that's what you want. Our preference would be three just to align it with the cycle.
Thank you, Director. I see Commissioner McIsaac and then Commissioner Smith.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I was going to suggest that we ask Nikki to write the amendment on the screen just so we're sure. But maybe it's simple enough, but I think it is, and there hasn't been a second yet. So this is where it's good to have her the motion say, yeah, that's what I meant. Now I don't want to paraphrase what you mean either. Could we just ask Nikki to write, I propose to amend the motion, and then let the maker of the motion say exactly what she's putting on the table?
Wow. Nikki, you're quick.
If I may, that was the motion to maybe correct it to what the subsequent discussion was. It would just simply be to make it for 2021. That would, I believe, would be in line with Commissioner Smith's recommended adjustment there or amendments. And then, of course, we discussed that the recommendation is to just not have it be annual. You can come back and visit at any time or perhaps consider the three-year season setting timeline.
Thank you. I'd like to, well, I was going to go back to Lorna, but I see Director Susawind's hands back up. So let's go there and then to Commissioner Smith. You're muted, Kelly.
Proven the adage, you can't teach an old dog. I want to make sure this reflects what Commissioner Smith wants. But the way I read this, we're not looking to remove that from the package. We're looking to amend it to include the year 2021. I worry the way it's written now, we remove it, it goes away. And then we just add a 2021 to something. So I think it's to amend WAC, the proposal to include a date of 2021.
Thank you. That's a good catch, Director. Commissioner.
Correct. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. That is correct.
Okay.
Really, it's just adding the date.
We have a diminishing motion on our screens, but we do have a motion. Do we have a second? Last call for a second.
I'll second it.
Commissioner Kuntz has seconded Commissioner Smith's motion to limit the, you read it, but to limit the re-up of the bear season, fall bear season to this year. Is there any further discussion? Commissioner Thorburn.
Yes, I'm just going to say that I don't support the amendment. I will not support it. I am comfortable with the explanations given by staff about the process moving forward and have trust that if they find biologic reasons to alter the harvest or more fine-tune it, they'll bring it to us. So I think the amendment is unnecessary.
Thank you, Thank you, Kim. Is there any further discussion? Let's see. I've got a Commissioner Smith, your hand was up. Did you want to do further discussion before we get to Commissioner Linville, or it's your motion, so up to you.
Well, I have a conundrum, I guess, because in trying to craft this, I'm becoming convinced that maybe just making those dates in alignment with all the other dates that are being proposed here would make more sense. So instead of just a 1 year, it would be the match up with the deer, elk, moose, everything, which is what, 21 through 23. That, so I wonder if I could call that a friendly amendment. Where's Joe?
No.
Go ahead, Joe.
Or do we have to vote this one down first, or what?
You can withdraw it.
You can amend
and then make a new one?
You can amend the amendment.
Okay. Because the commission's internal policies lack a lot of detail in parliamentary procedure, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I am not an expert in parliamentary procedure. As long as everyone's clear on what's going on, I think one option would be, Commissioner Smith, for you to rescind your initial motion to amend and amend it, re-seek a second, and then proceed with your change.
Or so Joe, then would another option be just to let this vote happen and then just make a second suggestion, or?
Yes, I think you could do that as well. I have a vague recollection that in Robert's rules, they're made, and at times there are limits on people making successive motions, but those don't exist in our internal policies. So that would not be a prohibition here.
This is the putative parliamentarian of the commission. Tertiary amendments are not favored. So I would just prefer that we go ahead and vote on this motion and make another one if you want to, Commissioner Smith. And actually, I really like Don's idea of having these sort of motions in writing. So maybe Nikki could start conforming this motion to, I think, the 3-year season setting package, which is, I believe, what Commissioner Smith was saying. Commissioner Linville.
No, let's just keep going.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we amend the fall bear season WAC to limit it to the year 2021. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The amendment fails. Commissioner Smith.
I would like to propose the same amendment, but make it consistent with the rest of the package, which is, I believe, state the season through 21-23.
So I would like to have Nikki show that motion on the screen and get staff's ratification that is the correct dates for the 3-year season setting. See.
Yeah,
that is correct. Does that work, Anise?
Yeah, those are correct. 21-23.
All right. Commissioner Smith has moved that we add the 3-year season setting dates to the WAC 224-15-090 fall black bear. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Kuntz has seconded the motion. Is there any further discussion? Commissioner Linville, well, hang on, Molly, just a minute. Let's hear what Eric has to say. Is that okay?
Of course.
If the language has to be precise, this is very minor, but year might need to be made plural. It's the years 21 to 23, if you're going to vote on what's on the screen.
Thank you. Commissioner Linville.
I just would like to speak to sort of the implication of the especially the First Amendment. I just wanted to verbalize that I'm having a hard time with the implication that staff has not set these seasons based on information. And I just want to say that I trust that we are being brought the best information, and I trust the process. And I can vote for if this stays in the 3-year season setting, because that's our process. But I just wanted to make sure that that I don't feel that we are being deceived in any way, and I don't feel like information is being hidden. And I just support what the staff has brought in front of us.
Thank you, Commissioner Linville. Commissioner Smith.
Just to respond to that, I certainly never implied, suggested, or otherwise stated that I thought that staff was not basing this on you know, available data. It's just there is a lag time with science coming forward and policy decisions getting made based on that best available science. And, you know, frankly, when it comes to large carnivores, there's not as much room for error as there are with ungulates, et cetera. So I just want to see, the department does excellent research, absolutely the, you know, great job. And I want to see us take the utmost advantage of that great research that the department does and reflect it in our management decisions. And that's really all I was saying, not accusing anybody of not using science, but let's see if we can't hasten how quickly we're able to take advantage of new science as it comes on board.
Thank you, for Commissioner Smith. Molly, did you want to say something else? Your hand is still up.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Okay, Commissioner McIsaac.
Okay, Madam Vice Chair, I guess I'd ask the maker of the motion the reason why she's doing this. And I heard what you just said about the science, but the science can come forward at any point in time. So could you speak to the purpose of limiting this, what your purpose is for limiting this to these 3 years, as opposed to the alternative of it standing until changed?
Well, you actually brought up a pretty good point earlier, Commissioner McIsaac, and that is that, you know, the burden of revisiting it and you know, establishing over again the reason for that is put back on the commission. But this is in alignment with the rest of how we're setting seasons. So I think that is a, you know, a strong argument for why we ought to do it rather than creating a perpetual season that we will need to come back and revise. And this puts us in alignment with being set up to address this issue in the next game management plan. As I understand it, this will be more consistent with that planning effort. So that is my reasoning why.
Yeah, okay. Well, just speaking to it then, I think that's a legitimate perspective to think about the burden of it all. I guess from my perspective, I would prefer the burden being on the other foot as it stands right now. I think I'd have confidence that the staff would come forward with changes inside of 3 years if we've got biological concerns. And certainly at the end of when 2024 comes around, that we would hear from the staff about that. And so just from the same strategic reason you're thinking of, I guess I find myself on the other side of the fence, preferring that the burden be compelling, because the cost might be there be no season. And I don't imagine that the science is going to get to a point in 4 years that the season should go to zero, but then it becomes a burden to, let's suppose the season should be cut in half. It becomes a burden to do that, or the implication is there would be no season. So I guess that's kind of where I'm falling on this. seemed to me I wanted to mention one other thing. I guess I'm interested in hearing if there's other perspective from commissioners on this. But the other point I was going to make is for the elk and the deer, it has something to do with the calendar and maybe I can ask staff that the first 2 weeks of November show up on different dates. The late buck hunt right before Thanksgiving shows up on different dates. And so the picking the dates business is a calendar related thing, and that we expect they will come forward every 3 years like they have in the past with, here's the status of the elk populations. We've done our surveys and this and that. So I guess that was my presumption. Maybe I'd double check that with the staff.
Commissioner Kuntz.
I think that I'm in support of making this 3 year added date, and here's why. I appreciate Mr. McIsaac's concern about the extra burden on the staff and who should the burden be on. But what I'm thinking, not along those lines, Don, but you'll hear me say over and over again that I feel one of the greatest challenges of the commission is to help the staff build greater trust with the public, the broad public. And there's been so much controversy about bears, and certainly the spring bear hunt, and we're collecting more data on that, and whether, how many females are lactating and all that data, that I think that by signaling this, that we're saying that, we're going to make sure that at a three-year process, this species is going to be brought up for discussion. So it is an extra burden, but I think it's one that will help us build trust and with the broader public. And I think that that's one of our greatest challenges in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Is there any further discussion?
I'd like to make a follow-up comment, if I may.
Go ahead, Commissioner Smith.
Another consideration in leaving this as proposed by staff, which is the open-ended with no end to the proposal, is I don't believe we gave notice that way. And given the propensity for lawsuits to happen around black bears and black bear hunting, I think we need to consider that how this was noticed could be an issue. But so I'll just go back to, I think that adds to the argument for being consistent with these seasons. And I wasn't talking about a date like October, November, December. It's the years that would be consistent with what we did, I think, for moose, bighorn sheep, and mountain goats, correct?
Well, I'm the wrong person to ask. Anise, do you want to...
I'm looking at Anise, but he can't tell me looking at him.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, we are kind of moving away from having dates on those seasons where they're not needed. And that was the reason for removing the date on that one. But yeah, as Commissioner McIsaac mentioned, the ungulate seasons tend to be the first Saturday of whatever. So when you set them, it's easier to set them for 3 years because then hunters know that the first Saturday of whatever month is that date. But when you have a season that starts a certain time and ends a certain time of a calendar year, and it's not a Saturday or a Monday or whatever, and if we can set them in that way without having to always revisit them, that is a preference for us, because rulemaking is becoming a more and more and more time-consuming process. And if we don't have to do it, it would be preferred for us, obviously. And so if there isn't a need for change to seasons, we don't have to bring it up in front of you just to change the date. And so that was the rationale for the way it is currently.
Commissioner Linville has a comment, but I see both Eric and Brock's hands are up. I'll let you all sort that out.
Thank you, Chair. I'll go first. Anise, could you please address the comment about how it was noticed? Could, if possible, what was described in the CR 102? And is this a departure from that?
Yeah, I mean, it was the rule as it stands was in the CR 102. And so I'm not sure what the notice issue is. Did we need to highlight that that was a change? I guess, you know, maybe we could have, or I don't know. I'm not sure. The 102 is clear that that language was removed. And so I'm not positive. It certainly was noticed in the 102, I guess.
That's just what I wanted to verify. The 102 is the highlight. It is the notice, and it was proposed in this way. Just wanted to make sure that was the case. Thank you.
Brock, did you have something you wanted to add to that conversation?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. So Commissioner Smith had referenced that we do the same thing for bear seasons that we do for moose and bighorn and mountain goat. And actually our moose, bighorn, and mountain goat, they actually are done the year that's in the WAC is just 1 year. So this year it's 2021. Next year it'll be changed to 2022. We do the same thing for our deer special permits and our elk special permits. It's our deer and elk general seasons that have the 3-year range to them.
Okay, I stand corrected.
So Commissioner Smith, Commissioner Linville's hand is up. Did you have something you wanted to add before we get to Molly's?
No.
Okay, Commissioner Linville.
So this doesn't really, and Anise, I kind of touched on it, doesn't really apply here, but notice goes both directions, right? Like we, you know, if we don't give appropriate notice to our hunting community, the same pushback is going to happen. But I don't really, that doesn't exactly apply on this instance for the reasons Anise laid out. But I just wanted to highlight that. Being more restrictive isn't a free pass for not giving notice. And as on the topic of trust in the department, I have always, wanted to help build trust in the department. I do think it's something that's super, super important. And I don't think I think trust is built by assuming that when the department gets good data, they're going to bring that data forward. And I just have that trust. And I think that's what builds trust in people, is that the department does that on their, that they when they get more information, they bring it forward and they make decisions based on that. And I'm not a proponent of leading with a giant club. And I feel like this is where this is going. And I don't like the tone of that. If you talk to any of these staff members about how they feel about black bears, they are black bears. They are predator supporters, right? They care about these animals. They aren't going to, keep back information that they get in the field. And I just really feel strongly about this, that the tone that the commission sets is going to be the tone of how the public feels about the department. And I would really like that tone to not go down the road of a giant club. And I'm just obviously just speaking for myself on that, but I feel strongly about it.
Okay. Thank you, Molly. We have a little bit of a conundrum. Chair Carpenter has to leave this meeting at 12:30. He also wants to make a comment on something else, but more importantly to me, his vote might matter. So we have three hands up. I'm asking us to be expeditious in our comments so that we can include Larry in the votes on the 3-year season setting. Commissioner Anderson, Commissioner McIsaac, and Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, I'll be succinct. I support the staff recommendation and would vote against the amendment. I think, and we've also talked this one over, if we need to move forward.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I'll be lightning quick here. There was a mention of the burden on the staff and the public trust. And I think the burden on the staff is the same. We expect them to come back in 3 years, whether or not this motion passes or fails, and tell us what they know about black bears. And that kind of trust, I think, is what the public really needs to hear. I'm saying a policy level burden on the commission as to whether or not this is a policy level question. Do you want the black bear season to continue unless changed, or do you want the black bear season to be canceled unless reestablished? So it's a policy level question burden.
Commissioner Smith, your hand is up. Did you have another comment, or did you forget to take it down?
No, I just, I'm prepared to call for the question, frankly, but before I do that, I have to respond to Commissioner Linville, because I think that my, motives are being totally misunderstood. I wouldn't have joined this commission if I didn't have the best interests of the department, their staff, and our wildlife and fish resources in my heart. And if I didn't believe we had really good people throughout the department working on these things, many, many of them have been my very close colleagues for many years. So I want to set the record straight on that. I'm not here to, I don't know what, whatever that was she thought, but I'm here to definitely support the department and Fish and Wildlife and the citizens of this state. So having said that, I'd like to call for the question.
We could vote on that, but before you call for the question, Lorna, and I realize that you just did, Commissioner Kuntz had something he wanted to say. Is your hand up or down, Fred?
It's up, and I just wanted to also comment on Commissioner Linville. Yeah, Molly, I too joined the commission because I know the staff and I want to support them, and it's not a matter that I don't trust them. What I'm saying is I think we have to be realistic, and we know this from when we had the, for example, the Washington Wildlife Leaders Forum. One of the four suggestions was that we need to craft the trust. So, you know, I guess we have a different, you know, we'll have to agree to disagree on the method of building that trust. But I am glad, Molly, that we both share the perspective that building trust is hugely important.
All right. The question's been called. The subject's been discussed at length. The motion has been made to amend the black bear fall seasons and add dates that comport with the 3-year season setting. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, appears the motion has failed. Now, we have to take our vote on the 3-year season setting package, but the chair of our commission is asked to make a comment before he has to leave, sort of a personal privilege type thing. If there's no objection, I'd like to turn to Larry and see what's on his mind before we take the next vote. This is highly irregular, but.
Yeah, thank you, Vice Chair. Now, why don't we go ahead and take the vote? And then I just need about 3 minutes to bring an issue up that I wanted to bring up.
Okay, thank you. So before us now is the big vote, the vote on all of those WACs that set the 3-year season setting process for hunting. I frankly don't remember if there has been a motion to do that or not.
Yes.
Or Anise?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all been moved and seconded that we approve the WACs is presented by staff with the adjustments that we've made earlier. All in favor of that, setting the seasons as specified by staff with adjustments, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The WACs for the 3-year season setting are approved. Thank you, guys. And also thank you for just such a sort of deep discussion on these issues. It's clear we're paying attention, if nothing else. Thanks, Eric, Brock, and Anise, Kelly. Nothing that was said today was any referendum on your work. And so we really appreciate you hanging with us through this. Larry, go ahead.
I'll try and be brief. I'm going to go back a few years. Well, first of all, I should have raised this issue a short time ago with the Wildlife Committee, but it didn't work out that I could. So I'm going to raise it now. Several years ago, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we would always have the commission meeting dealing with the hunting regs in March. And we had them for several years over in Moses Lake, which actually worked out quite well for most people, middle of the state. And then meeting in a city, I think the city council room, which was very nice. And then for some reason, they wouldn't let us come back the next year. So we went to Spokane. And if I remember correctly, then the following year, we went to Tri-Cities. And then the following year, we went back to Spokane. And all of those meetings, all those different meetings in over a 5-6 year period, the issue of the 4-point APR was raised. And it was an incredibly passionate debate, primarily by the folks over in 117, Northeastern Washington. So I've been receiving recently some comments about revisiting that. We can't do that now, but I want to put a placeholder out there that I would like to speak with the Wildlife Committee folks, including staff, certainly. And for once and for all, I guess I want to get my arms around that issue and better understand the whys and what fors of what we did, why we quit doing it, because I can remember multiple commissioners over the years just beating their head against the wall to go one direction and a handful going the other direction. So I don't know if anybody else has any interest in that, but I personally do, and I would just like to be responsive to the stakeholders and look into it. And I'd like any comments before I have to leave.
No,
go ahead, Kim.
Okay, so as chair of the Wildlife Committee, I can start. We actually held a meeting looking at this. It was put on the plate of the 3-year package. We had a number of discussions. Staff has been meeting with the members of the Northeast Wildlife Group. Commissioners have, there was special surveying done on this question. The question, though, in the survey was, there were a number of ways, but what it sort of came down to was, not a majority, but a large minority of hunters would be interested in more of a quality hunt in those units. The majority of hunters in the survey the whitetail hunt in Northeast Washington to be a general season. So we tasked staff to bring to the commission ways that we might get a quality hunt, because that was the largest minority. They looked at different ways that a quality hunt could be produced, and one was the APR. But it was not in the survey the most desired. It certainly is in surveys in Northeast Washington. And the group has brought ideas about doing it in just certain GMUs. The way that it was looked at was all GMUs rather than specific GMUs as a trial. We had some discussion about that in the Wildlife Committee. It's not clear that the Northeast Washington Wildlife Group proposal would get the information that was needed, but it's certainly something that we can look at as sort of a pilot in certain GMUs in the future. What happened was there was another proposal to develop a more quality hunt, and that was the shortened late season. We got a lot of testimony against that, so that was withdrawn as an adjustment to the rules. So we have been paying a lot of attention to this. They do have a very specific suggestion. We can certainly take a look at that and discuss it with staff further in the future. And that would be to set up sort of a trial of this in certain GMUs.
Thank you, Commissioner Thurman. That's reflective in the emails that I've been getting that they want to do kind of a test platform. I will be in touch with you next week. I want to gather more information and in the spirit of trying to keep as many people happy as possible. Any other comments on that issue before I have to go?
Commissioner Smith has her hand up.
Just very quickly, I want to say that this was a conundrum for me and an issue I didn't really understand. And I reached out to both Anise and Brock and got very good explanations for the state of affairs, why we were not proposing to go back to the antler point reduction. And I appreciated that and pretty much was told that, you know, that it wasn't what the majority of hunters responded they wanted. So, you know, do we let a small geographic area decide, you know, maybe that's the way to go. But anyway, I appreciate the explanations I got from staff.
Okay. Thank you for that. Folks, I apologize for having to go. I have another appointment. Take care, and we'll talk again very soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Larry. Mm-hmm. See you later. You. Well, this is going down as one of the longest, if not the longest, conference call we've had, at least since I've been on the commission. So, but I think we have finished our substantive business, and we are on to agenda items.